we're going to think about this story of Simeon and Anna. It's in Luke chapter 2, and we're thinking of the time when, according to the law, it was time to circumcise the child on the eighth day, and they officially named the child on the eighth day at the time of circumcision. And so Mary and Joseph went up to the temple in Jerusalem, and they were going to name him. And they came for purification as well, because Mary had to be purified after her birth. And so they wanted to do everything according to the law. And you know the story, how they went up and they only had a couple of doves that they could offer because they were the poor. They were poor, and those were the basic poorest offerings that could be made. And in the temple, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him that by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Those of you that come from an Anglican background will know well the prayers of the nunc, the words of the Nunc Dimittis. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. And she was very old, and she'd lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Just a few thoughts really about these two, because the heading really is new beginnings, but God can still use old people. And I find it quite fascinating that old people can be a treasure. Mind you, old people can also be a bit of a pain in the nether regions, but they can be a treasure. I think all of us, you know, at some time in our lives are a bit of a pain. All of us sometimes in our lives are a bit of a treasure. But these two were a treasure. Simeon and Anna. Spirit-filled, righteous people who were in the right place at the right time. I find it interesting, too, that God bypassed the establishment. All the way through the Christmas story, God had been bypassing the establishment. The leaders of the people, the elders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees. God bypassed them. And he used ordinary people to bring his plan of salvation to fruition. And he bypassed them again. There must have been a few people round in the temple. If you have a look at the picture that the kids are, there's one or two people standing there. But then there's Anna and there's Simeon. And they're looking at the baby. The others are looking in the other direction. They weren't ready for God's plan. And Simeon's, particularly his words, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. The Jews couldn't cope with that. Like John the Baptist said, you know, don't say your father is Abraham. We're the special people. We're God's people. No, it's not just for you. It's for everybody. So he bypassed the establishment. And we see these qualities of these people. And the first one, we got a number here we can put up. The first one, thanks, Sarah. They were waiting and watchful. And verse 25, we've got, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Anna was waiting in the temple. Day and night she was there. All her waking hours she was there in the temple, worshipping, waiting. In the right place at the right time. It's interesting, Anna was always there. Simeon wasn't always there. But he was guided by the Holy Spirit to be there at the right time. See how God works in different ways. And God uses different people. And so moved by the Spirit, he was there. Anna was there too. Interesting actually how Anna is a shortened version of the name Hannah. And you remember Hannah of the Old Testament who praised God for her son. Who was Hannah's son? Samuel. Who was presented by God to the temple. Hannah, who blessed her son and praised God for her son. It's like a picture of Hannah in the temple here praising God for Jesus. So they were waiting and they were watchful. For old people, waiting and watchfulness is probably easier to do than young people. But secondly, they were favored and spirit-filled. And you see how it says of Simeon that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He had a spirituality that was there, that was perhaps beyond so many others. He was waiting, he was watchful, he was favored and spirit-filled. Why was he favored? Well, the amazing thing was, God had told him, you're not going to die before you see the consolation of Israel. You're going to see the Messiah, the one who God has promised. That's an amazing promise, really. And he was there and he suddenly realized here it was being fulfilled. Anna was actively waiting. She was favored. She was there in the temple. She was a prophetess. So she had favor from God. She had the gift of prophecy. There are a few women in the Bible who have the gift of prophecy. You've got one or two in the Old Testament. You've got one or two in the New Testament. Philip's four daughters in Acts chapter 12, is it? Acts, somewhere around there. Who prophesied. She was a prophetess, favored and spirit-filled. And then they were devout and righteous. Simeon was careful to fulfill his religious duties. He was in and out of the temple. He was beloved by God and by men. And so he had access to go in and to worship. Anna likewise, in the women's court, no doubt, of the temple, fasting and praying night and day, it says in the scripture. She had the ministry of prayer, as so many old people do. Incidentally, we're not quite sure how old she was. She could have been 100, because it's a little bit vague. It says about how she'd lived with her husband 7 years. She'd been a widow until she was 84. The Greek text there, it could mean that she was 84 now, or it could mean she'd been a widow 84 years. We're not sure. But it doesn't matter. She'd been around a long time. And she'd learned these qualities of devotion, righteousness, favor, spirit-filled, waiting and watchfulness. And the next thing, they were decisive and perceptive. And you know, that's the thing that you don't learn easily, to be perceptive, to see when God is working. And Simeon particularly comes in and he actually takes the child in his arms. I wonder what Mary felt about that. She must have been quite concerned, perhaps. We don't know anything about Simeon. We don't know whether he was who he was. whether he was a God-fearer who just went to the temple, whether he had some position in the temple. But here he was, and he takes the child in his arms and he says this. This Nunc Dimittis, which is in the Anglican prayer book, regularly used week by week. Nunc Dimittis is the Latin Vulgate version of now dismiss. And it says, now dismiss your servant in peace, because you fulfilled your promise to me. That's what he's saying. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. He recognized the purpose of Christ's coming, not just for Israel, but for everyone, for us. He found the treasure. He found the pearl of great price. I'm happy to die now, Lord. You've promised, I'm happy to go. And Anna, when she saw what was happening, coming up to them at that moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Decisive, perceptive, understanding, he did something straight away. And then, lastly, they were disciplined and fearless. I find this quite fascinating. That amidst the joy and the exultation and the wonder that Simeon found, he then turns to Mary and said, sorry, Mary, this child is going to bring you suffering. He's going to bring you pain. It's not easy to say those things. It's not easy to stand up in a pulpit and tell people that if they're not trusting in Jesus, then they're lost and they won't spend eternity with God. It's not a popular thing to do today. But Simeon was fearless and disciplined in what he said, and he said to the child's father and mother, he blessed them. And he said, but this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. He's going to suffer so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. But also you're going to suffer, Mary, because a sword will pierce your own soul too. Not literally, but metaphorically saying, your heart is going to be broken, Mary. And so he was fearless. And Anna spoke and praised God. We don't have any record of her speaking to Mary or Joseph. She just praised God. But she did speak to her home group. She did rejoice with those who had the same views as her. To all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem, she told them, we found him. We found him. We know him. Older people learn these qualities. They're not developed overnight. The Hausa people of Nigeria, where we worked for a number of years, have various proverbs. And one of their proverbs goes like this. A brown stick knows what it's like to be a green stick. But a green stick only knows what it is to be green. Older people who are getting wrinkly and brown know a bit more about life. And it's our responsibility to help those who are still green sticks. And it's the green stick responsibility to honour the brown sticks. In African society, the older generation are held in great esteem. They're listened to, they're cared for, and they're also expected to care for others. Where is your treasure? How do you fit in to the characteristics of these two?